I greet you in the name of Jesus and the peace that he has. We have a few things we're going to do this morning in our service. As I mentioned, we'll have a testimony Sunday. We're going to read a little bit of scripture in a moment. We're also going to hear from Pastor Com in just a moment. This is his last Sunday. But as the sort of the plan to ever stay flexible at New City Fellowship, we're going to bump up one of our testimonies. So Melvina, come on up. Melvina just caught me, and she said, I'm working in the nursery, but I've got a testimony. So I'm not going to say no to that, okay? But come on up. Welcome. Yes. All right. I think they love you. Yeah. So Melvina's been part of our church for a long time. For those of you who don't know, really grew up here. And so what do you have that you want to give God the glory for this morning?
It's just something really short. First, before I start, I just want to, there's like some people in the church, a couple of people mostly, but mostly I just want to thank the Taylors a lot, because last summer, I guess including this summer, the Taylors and my family, because this summer has been a really hard summer for me, and they've been like my aunt and uncle, and my parents have like, have really been there too. So, you know, like they've been like really helpful. And I've gotten to know Pastor Rory also. But I wanted to just go in a little detail. You guys know this was my last year of high school, and it was really tough on me because, you know, I didn't know, even though I got accepted to a couple colleges, I didn't really know what I would do after high school. I want to be a film director, but then I also want to be a marriage counselor, which are two different paths. But, you know, I'm kind of in between. So, and then a couple of weeks ago, which was my graduation, I had a situation where I had to choose. My boss told me I had to either go to my graduation or come to work, and if I go to graduation, then I'll get fired. So it was like, oh my gosh, like I was really panicked, because like I've been going to school like a very long time, and I had to choose, like, what the heck, like come on, like. So I was really grouchy. I was upset with God. I was upset with everyone around me. If you ask my parents, like, I was in a really bad mood. It's like, whew. So I came to Pastor Roy. That's when I really got to know him. And he told me, he was like, Melvina, just calm down. Trust me, God knows what he's doing. Like, just, I think you should go to your graduation, because, and I think God is in control. If God could take care of the birds and stuff, like, he could take care of you. And I was just like, yeah, I think I know what you're saying. But you got to understand, my graduation is in a couple of days. So let's talk about how is he going to take care of me right now. But anyways, it was crazy how it all worked out, because I still got to go to my graduation, and I still got my job. And it was like, wow, Pastor Roo is actually right. So, you know, I'm holding on to my faith, okay? So, and I thought about what Miss Sarah said also, this Bible verse that I saved in my phone that she said to me a long time ago. She said, Joshua, verse 19, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And that means a lot to me.
Thank you. Thank you, Melvina. Thank you for serving our kids this morning. All right. Yes. All right. I do now want to ask Pastor Com to come on forward. And We're going to take just a few moments. And is Loon here? Can Loon come up too? Because I want to pray for you both in just a minute. If she can just make her way forward here in a minute. This is really it, church. Pastor Com has been here for what, 8 years?
Almost
8 years. And he has come and gone different times as he's been studying at Concordia Seminary and is now one of the most educated men in this room. Dr. Com, actually, is what you should call him. I think we have a picture. Yes, there he is, looking very distinguished. If you don't know, when you have all those velvet lines on your sleeve, it means you're really smart. Okay? So Pastor Com has graduated. Yes, let's celebrate his graduation. He has come and gone different times over these years because as a student he would go back home. And so we would pray for him, send him back. But he's done with his school now. And so when he comes back, it will be far less often. It will be only because we have invited him to come back, which we always do, by the way, to maintain our partnership together as we minister together. So just a brief story about what God has been doing. So Pastor Com came here to study at Concordia Seminary. He came here, many of you know this, about exactly the same time that many people from his home country, Burma or Myanmar, were being resettled as refugees throughout the United States, including right here in St. Louis. At that time, Macklin Bosse was associate pastor here at the church. He was visiting a friend at Concordia Seminary, who was also from Togo, and they met Pastor Com. And Macklin said, oh, we have many people from Burma in our church. And you might have thought he was crazy or something. I don't know. Because what? That they would be in St. Louis and in this church. And we found out then, after not too much time, that they were from, many of them, from his same region. Some from his hometown. Some that had been his former students. And so if we want to talk about Testimony Sunday, we see here this great picture of how God is actually orchestrating and moving. He had hoped to come here many years before, but God in his sovereign, wonderful plan knew that we needed Pastor Com at exactly the same time that all of these were coming from his home country. So I want to just give glory to God. I want to praise God for his goodness in bringing this dear friend and partner in the ministry. And I want to thank you, Pastor Com, for your faithfulness, for your friendship, for your kindness to us as a church, to me personally. I don't know if you remember, at one point you preached, of course, a number of times, and at one point you preached on Barnabas. And I'll never forget, you said from Acts 11, Barnabas, you'll remember this, was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And so when I think of Barnabas, I think of Pastor Com. You also are a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And you have taught me a great deal by our friendship, but also just by your example. And so I thank you. I thank God for you, brother. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. I've asked Pastor Com just to give a brief update of what he's going to be going back to as he leaves on Tuesday morning. And then I think Bob Elliott and also maybe Kwal Poo will come up and just say a brief word on behalf of the church. So tell us what God has for you.
Thank you, Pastor Kevin and the church. Have been part of this body of Christ for almost 8 years now, and I'm leaving on Tuesday morning, 9:30, flying out of Lambert Airport toward heading home. But I will be leaving with mixed feelings. And I know part of me would remain here with you, even though I cannot be with you bodily. I will be with you in spirit. And it's always hard to leave this place and to leave you guys, people. And it's my privilege. I have never thought and dreamed of meeting good people, wonderful people like you. As Pastor Kevin has said, I plan to come here in 2000 to do studies here, but God graciously allow me to come in 2008 instead. He purposely delayed my coming so that I could be of a useful instrument in meeting the needs of the newly resettled immigrants and refugees, among whom I was privileged to serve along with you. And I would like to say thank you to everybody for praying for me, for supporting me, and the church as a whole for supporting me in my studies financially and by your prayers. And without you and without your support, I know, I'm very sure, and I'm very much convinced, even more and more, with the passing of each day, that I would not have come to this point in my life. And I would not say I have achieved something, but have learned so many things while being here. And I will be taking those with me back to my context in Burma. That's what I am really excited about. I have been a pastor, a teacher in a Bible college, and in two other institutions too, but I have learned a lot that I am really excited to take back to Burma, what I have learned from here, what you have been doing here, among other people in this city and across the nation. And also I would like to say a word of thanks to Bob and Melissa. They are like my American parents here. They have opened up themselves, their lives, their home to my wife and me for so many, many months. And they have endured us. And they are so generous, so kind to us. And I am really glad they are here this morning. And as I was back in Myanmar the last few months, 5 months to be exact, I was able to, along with three other people, opened an evening school where 15 people came together to study Bible and theology, and among whom we have two medical doctors. And our vision and our prayer is that we could have people from different denominations and different churches come together, study God's Word, that they can also have the same vision that we have to care for the poor and the oppressed and the widows and the orphans. And I am very excited about the prospect in the future. And about a week ago, I had the opportunity to sit down together with Pastor Barry and other mission executive committee members, and we talked about doing some medical works there too. And he called me sometime later, telling me that there is a potential donor, because we talked about malaria and dengue fever, which are really bad in the area where I will settle down and work in Kalemio area. Pastor Kevin has been there once, and Daniel and April have been there. Pastor Daniel has been there three times already. And so we talked about those things, and Pastor Barry asked me if I could get someone in the medical field to get connected with this work. And those two medical doctors in my school could be potential partners in the future. And I can see God has prepared the way so far, and I'm very excited about that. So please continue praying for us that I would be a small, useful instrument in God's hand to bring healing spiritually and physically as well to the people, the really needy people in Burma. Thank you very much for your support. Thank you for your prayers. And thank you also for your continued support and prayers in the future too. Thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Kam. If you are giving to the New City Missions Program, we had our pledges a while ago. You are helping to support this ministry every month. We will continue to send funds to Pastor Kam and his family. If you'd like to give specifically to any of these other ministries, of course, you're very free to do that. What an amazing thing to see how God's making these connections. And through you and through us together with Pastor Kam, I believe we're going to see people come to Christ, grow in Christ, see lives literally saved spiritually and physically through this medical ministry that's starting. So thank you. Kwapu or someone else, we talked about somebody coming from the Chin community, and then I think Bob Elliott, if you would just come on up a minute and just have invited these people to briefly just express appreciation. While Pastor Kam has been preaching on occasion and ministering in the whole church, he's also been very regularly with the Azomi or the Chin community, the Burmese in our church, in their house church. So, Kwapu, you have a word?
Are you going to make him interpret? Good morning, New City.
Good morning.
God's good.
All the time.
All the time. Mingla ba. ကျွန်တော်ဒီနေ့ပတ်တိခန်ချင်းနဲ့ကြီးတော်ချင်းမွန်ချင်းလုံတမ်းကုတ်နာမတ်နည်းနည်းပြောချင်တယ်ခုနကြည့်ရတဲ့အတိုင်းပဲကျွန်တော်တို့ဒီမှာဒုက္ခတွေဒီ2014အချိန်မှာကျွန်တော်တို့မိဘမဲ့အလုပ်လက်မဲ့အချိန်မှာကျွန်တော်တို့ကိုဥဆောင်ပြီးမဲ့လူအပ်တဲ့အချိန်မှာကျွန်တော်တို့ဖျားသခင်ကပါစတာခါမ်ကိုကျွန်တော်တို့နဲ့အတူတူအချိန်တပြည့်တည်းမှာပဲကျွန်တော်တို့
Thank you. Okay. Yeah, I'll try my best. When we got resettled here as refugees who didn't speak the language, and people without knowing how to get settled down here, and without a job, God graciously sent Pastor Kam to our midst to lead us and guide us and minister to us.
Pastor Kam, I don't know if
We have grown so much during these 8 years through his teaching and his instruction. I would like to testify of goodness in all this.
It
happened to be for Kwapu, his eighth year. He got here exactly 8 years ago on this day. And and he would like to, he would like to testify of God's provision, God's protection. And for his family, it's 2.5 years now that they could come and join him. So on this specific day, okay, 8 years ago, he came here. And yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you.
Well, I will be short. And it seemed to me, Pastor Kam, that I'll bet there's a number of people in the church who recognize you but don't know you. Mm-hmm. And actually, I find that a very fitting testimony for your service. Fitting because I think you're a humble man who has served in a very humble way, a significant way, but a very humble way. And it was so very easy for you to stay under the radar of lots of people in the church. And that's good. You were well above the radar of your Lord, Pastor Kam.
Thank you. Wow.
And so I actually have a gift from the, from the people who know your service. It's actually from the deacons and from the elders and from the staff specifically, people who know how you served and were a very humble man.
Thank you. Thank you for the gift.
All right. Would you join me, please? Let's pray for Pastor Kam and Loon. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful gift that you've given us in Kam and Loon. Lord, I have been changed through knowing them, through knowing their faith and seeing the example of their service. Lord, through coming to know their people back home and how you have worked in that country and the exciting things that you are doing there right now. Lord, you have helped me to become more of a follower of Jesus through my friend Pastor Kam and through his family. Lord, as they go back, we pray that you would watch over them and keep them safe. Lord, we pray that you would give them a wonderful reunion with their children and their family members and their churches back home. Lord, we pray that you would give them incredibly fruitful ministry. God, that you would take all that you have done in them here in this place and that you would use it to plant seeds, to produce fruit, Lord, to reap a harvest back in that country. Lord, I pray that as Pastor Kam and Loon go back, that you would give them zeal, give them energy, give them passion, give them endurance, give them all of the grace and the mercy and the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, use them in powerful ways. And Lord, we especially want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to partner together in the work you're doing in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Yes, thank you, Pastor Kam. Well, that is really, this is Testimony Sunday. That was a ministry moment, a testimony all wrapped in one. We're going to move in just a moment into some opportunities for you to give testimony. As we do that, I want us to read from the Psalms this morning, and you'll find it in your bulletin, I think also on the screen behind me. This is Psalm 107. It's a little bit longer than like Psalm 23, but we're going to read the whole thing together because it really starts our Testimony Sunday service right here with Psalm 107. As we read this, you'll notice in your bulletin there are some verses that are bold, and I want to ask you to read those verses with me this morning. So I'll read the regular text, and you can read the bold. And this is a psalm, basically, that sets the tone for our lives and our testimony, and this is the theme. We're weak. We get in trouble. We mess up. We make stupid choices. And if we cry to the Lord, he is faithful to rescue us. And in response to that, the right thing is for us to give thanks to God. Amen? So that's the story of Psalm 107. I hope it's the story of your life. Let's read Psalm 107 together. I'll start us. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous gifts to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Some sat in darkness in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, for he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. They cried to the Lord, and he heard them, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste, because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water and parched land into springs of water. And there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards, and they get a fruitful yield. By his blessing they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, or sorrow, he pours contempt on the princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. We want to consider the steadfast love of the Lord this morning. The last couple of weeks we were preaching in Pentecost and the week after about the Holy Spirit. And just in your bulletin, you'll see a couple of passages there from Acts as a reminder. Our New Testament passage there. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, even the ends as far as St. Louis, Missouri. And so you have an opportunity to witness this morning, church, to give a witness, to give a testimony. What have you seen God do? In Acts 2:11, of course, when the Holy Spirit is poured out on the people of God, they hear in different languages, from different regions, from different countries, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, it says, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. One of the great joys I have as a pastor is to see within our congregation the mighty works of God and to hear stories from you of the mighty works of God. Every week as I hear stories about how you love one another, how you care for your neighbors in this city, how you work for what is good and just, especially on behalf of those who are the most vulnerable. And most often, those stories of God's goodness come in some of the most difficult places in our lives. So if you want to know what to share this morning, maybe think about how God has been with you in those places. This is a time not to boast in ourselves, but to boast in the Lord. So we've got about 15 or 20 minutes here yet. And as we do often, we're just going to open it up. Stephen Monmyara came up to me earlier and he said, did we need to meet with you before we do this? No, that's not how we do it at New City. So come on up. And I would just ask a couple things. One, keep it brief. Two, try to speak directly. See where the microphone is? Like that close. And that'll help everybody to hear. All right. So who wants to start us off? Yes, if anybody speaks a language other than English, we will find somebody to interpret for you. So we would love to hear stories in whatever language. So, yeah, come on up. You have some, Ellie, Martha, getting a chair.
She's getting me a chair.
Perfect. I didn't know if she was going to sing, which would be fine, too. So, all right. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just not going to be able to stand. So starting last October, I started to experience some very strange symptoms health-wise. And it's been 8 months now, and I know a lot of things that it's not. I've been to see a neurologist, and we've run lots of tests, innumerable. I feel like every time I go, they are taking more blood. And the long and short of it is that they believe I have chronic fatigue syndrome. When we first moved here, almost exactly 6 years ago now, from Chicago, we came because we felt God called us to be working with New Life Evangelistic Center, helping the poor, homeless in downtown St. Louis. And I felt so much joy and fulfillment in doing that. And so when I started to feel sick and unable to continue to do that, I've really struggled, you know, because I felt, God, you called us here. And now I can't do what I feel like you called me to do. So there's been a lot of why. Why am I going through this? Why can't I continue to do what I feel like you called me to do, Lord? And in the midst of all of that, I've learned a lot of different things. Number one is that my worth, my value in the kingdom of God is not based on what I do. My worth, my value in the kingdom of God is based on my relationship with Him. And as ministers, as anybody who does any kind of outreach, you know that sometimes you can get in a groove and you coast on the surface. And you may be doing lots of things for God and not really being with Him. So I wanted to read you this verse from Isaiah that the Lord has really kind of used to convict me and to encourage me at the same time. Because God's really cool that way. This is from Isaiah 30, verse 15. And the context of this is Israel is, instead of turning to God for their help in trouble in time of war, they've turned to Egypt. And God's basically saying, you knuckleheads, but don't you know that Egypt is going to let you down? And so this is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. And I looked up that word salvation, and it does mean, you know, rescuing out of a dangerous situation, but it also means in relationship to a loving God. You know, that the connotation is that salvation would result in relationship. And I don't want to be the person who would have none of that. You know, I don't want to be that person. And so I feel like God has moved me to this place where I don't have a choice. I don't have a choice. I'm there. I have to rest in Him, because simple things like washing my hair exhausts me to the point of shaking. And I used to be the Energizer Bunny, and I can't do that anymore. And I have to rest in Him, and I have to trust Him that what He has for me is His good and perfect plan. In the midst of all of this, His plan will prevail. And my salvation is in that relationship with Him.
Man, thank you, Cynthia. Thank you, Martha. Next Sunday will be their last Sunday before they move to Southwest Missouri. And so we will pray for them next week Sunday, but just to let you know. So, yeah, Cynthia, come on up.
All right, is Heather Garrett here? Somebody needs to tell her that I said this. There's Tim. 2 years ago this month, I moved in with the Rices. And I moved out of the home, the building that we had had for 12 years, and the marriage that I had had for 26. And my divorce was final last October. And God has really taught me a lot and is still teaching me. My house church was very, very helpful in the year prior to this one, because I was not making ends meet, to say the least. And that's the lesson I want to share with you, is that last summer was my second summer working with the tutoring program. And at the beginning of the summer, I got a job as a teacher's assistant at Freedom School for this past year. And during the work week, Angie, our principal, sat us down and began praying. And, well, before she prayed, she said, we need to pray that we make ends meet, that the donations are kind of low. And immediately I was convicted and encouraged that I was putting my trust in that job for my money, for my insurance, all that good stuff, and that I needed to put my trust in the Lord and not that job. It was kind of funny afterwards. The co-teacher was kind of mad, and I was like, oh, no, this is where I am. This is a good lesson for me. Well, anyway, first paycheck came. It was only for 3 days. I only worked 3 days. That was fine. Second paycheck came, ironically, on a Wednesday when I had been to house church. So I pick up my mail at 9 o'clock at night, and I get my paycheck, my stub, and it's for 3 days. Well, I had this real serious problem with anxiety, and so I was really worried. How am I going to pay my blah, 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 you know, having gone through the last year. And again, okay, Lord, I put my trust in You and not this job. It was 9:30 at night because I had been to house church, and I couldn't. I thought, okay, I'm not going to make a phone call now no one wants to hear from me at 9:30 at night. And so by the time I got to my apartment, the last door on the left, I had calmed down. I was going to pray about it. I went right to sleep, and I struggled with that, so that was good. And I got up the next morning. I picked up my pay stub, went right to work. And before I even entered the building, I was greeted with people who had already taken care of that at 4, 5, 6 o'clock earlier. And they assured me within 24 hours I would have the correct amount of money in my hand. Well, I had it before I left at 3:30, so that was really good and a really good lesson to me. Well, about a month later, Tony Miles preached, and it was on the demon was in the person, and the disciples, I think it was disciples, it might have been Jesus, cast the demon into the swine of pigs, and they went over the cliff and died. Remember that? And I don't remember what the first 2 points were, but we were going over it in house church, and everybody related to those first 2 points. I'm like, oh, no, no, and kind of brushed off the third. No, no, no. That third point was if for nobody else, it was for me. Because the man's livelihood was gone. It died when all those pigs went off the, here I am again, trusting the Lord. So here it is, May 29th. Friday was my last day of school. My position's been eliminated, and I'm back to where I started. So this summer, I will have my third summer with tutoring, and come July 29th, I will have no employment, but the Lord knows. And so Emily started that wonderful prayer chain, and if you get it, you know that I have not asked for a job. I've asked for a calling. That I trust in the Lord, I didn't put that in there, but that I trust the Lord to provide for me between now and 2 months, 2 months from now, is when I will need it. I don't have to have it before the 25th of July or the 29th of July. It would be nice, but I don't have to have it. But that it's not a job, that I know it's where the Lord wants me to be and that I can serve him.
Thank you. Thank you, Cynthia. Yeah. Steve.
I've lived in Missouri for quite a few years. My family stayed in Oregon. My next youngest brother drank a lot in high school and through college, and we haven't stayed real close through that time. But, you know, you kind of observe things as you get together with people, and I was struck when Malvina was talking about, you say, well, God, is God really going to do this? Can I believe what Pastor Roy told me? But Mimi and I had gone to visit my brother and his wife, and you just notice things, and you say, God, something needs to change here. And you wait a while, and you don't see it change, and you say, well, I guess maybe that's one of those prayers God's not going to answer. But a month ago, we went to visit, and my brother told me that on the 23rd of December, this is after maybe 43 years, he went to a dryout center, and he hasn't had a drink since 2 days before Christmas. And when Cynthia was talking about the demoniac, one of the things my brother said to me, he says, I said, well, Gordon, what was it like to be drinking so much all the time? And he says, I get so tired. I'm so tired of it. And I realized that he was held captive, just like the guy that, you know, that Cynthia was talking about. But God set him free. And that doesn't mean he doesn't struggle. Because I asked him, and he said, it's still a struggle. But I want to say to you that if God points something out to you and says, this needs to change, then you pray. And you can expect, it might not happen, somebody else was saying, well, it took 40 years, but, you know, God does answer prayer, and you can hope in that.
Amen. Good. Come on up.
Darren and Charlene.
Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Darren.
I'm Charlene.
So, we don't know really how to start this, but other than just kind of share our story, we have been married for... Yeah, December 31st. So what's that? 5 months, 6 months, close to 6 months. Great marriage day, all that. But within the first month of our marriage, Charlene had an injury that kind of came out of nowhere, actually. We were in the Philippines over Thanksgiving break, where I actually met her parents to ask them for their blessing. And then we got married about a month later, officially on the 31st. But she started feeling some really bad pain in February. I don't know, Charlene, if you want to share a little bit. But.
So there's just a lot of pain, like on my spine and my hip and my knee from the fall. And it was a lot of doctor's visits until they finally figured out that I had a tear on my disc that herniated my lumbar spine and like a bulge. So it was like really cutting off my nerve and it was causing me severe nerve damage. So flash like forward now, it's been 3 weeks I ended up getting the spine surgery. But really God has just showed us so much about like how he's walked with us throughout the whole season. Like even though we were really struggling to walk through that really dark tunnel, God has provided for us like so much like blessings. And I think the one that we really want to share is that how he's kept our marriage. It was really, really difficult being newlyweds and just going through that struggle right away. It seems like we didn't really have a honeymoon season like what everyone was talking about. And I realized like I was really an ugly person. Like deep down, I just had so much bitterness and anger about what was going on. So, you know, I was really angry at my husband all the time. And I was just like, why are you doing it this way? Can't you clean the house a lot better? Like I do it better. And like, it was just really, really tough for us. But God has just really showed us how he's there for us no matter what. And my husband has just been so patient the whole time. And that's really just God, like, in him, him continuing to love me despite, like, the ugliness that's been going on in the season that we were going through. And do you want to say anything? Or I'm just talking
Yeah. well, that was a lot, but, you know, we'll wrap up. You know, something that a good friend of mine told me, he's in the room, Caven. you know, it's okay to cry out to God. It's okay to ask those questions. And those questions that we were asking is like, Lord, why? You know, I mean, married 5 months, you know, we did all the right things that everyone told us to do. You know, we did it this way, and now we're suffering. You know, and it was particularly the pain that Charlene was going through. That's the worst part of it. And something about going through extreme pain, that that's one of the symptoms of depression. And it's also the mental, spiritual struggle of fighting against that. And God was really able to sustain us through that. And even in our marriage, as we are still learning what that's about, you know, 6 months in, and we owe a lot of thanks to some friends here and this community and our community through Young Life, and most of all to God for continuing to provide for us. And we're still standing strong and trying to hold firm and just trust in the Lord and what he's doing and whatever comes our way. But we're praying for healing very soon, complete healing. So.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Did you have something, Stephen? Because we're going to wrap up here. This might be our last opportunity. Just we've got kids upstairs and child care workers. But this isn't this good? Does this make you I hope thankful for this church family and also thankful for the grace of God in our communities? So you got something?
All right, I want to, I guess, keep the theme going of the Lord's provision. This is from Malachi chapter 3, 6 through 10. It says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, How shall we return? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, have we robbed you in your tithes and contributions? You're cursed with a curse, for you're robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you down, or and pour for you a blessing down for you until there is no more need. Yeah, and so me and my wife Hannah over there have really seen that in our lives. We moved to St. Louis in July of 2014 for me to start Covenant Seminary. One of the books that's been really influential in my life has been a biography of George Mueller and just how the Lord provided for him and how he really trusted the Lord for that. And so moving down here, you know, we have to pay for school, and we had a partial scholarship but not enough money. And so we were just praying, like, Lord, we just made our first payment. We have no idea how the rest is going to come in. What do you? And we just went home after one night and just prayed on our knees to the Lord, like, Lord, please provide for our needs. And so then the next day, the Lord, we were living in New City that time and in a floodplain. So we prayed that prayer, and the next day the Lord decided to flood and destroy our car. And so naturally, like, Lord, did you get the memo about what we were just praying to you? But through a bunch of different things, the Lord really ended up providing, and through insurance money and through help from our parents, we're actually able to get a car that was cheap. That was like, I think, $1,500 under market value. And all that said and done, we ended up coming like $2,000 ahead of where we were. And then we were like able to pay for school and all that. And then last year, I think it was in March, my wife decided she wanted to go back to school to start the counseling program. And so it's like, okay, now you're going to be working less, not full-time anymore. How are we going to make this work? So worrying about that. And then just through a series of talking to people, we were able to move down on the corner of California, Wyoming, or in Salvation Army housing for very cheap. And then through somebody at my school who dropped out of this full scholarship program, they asked me if I wanted to step in. And so it's like, yeah, let me talk to my wife and pray about this. We're good. And so, yeah, it was just so great. And so now it's like, man, we have all this provision. And I was just talking to my wife, because she's in the counseling program. So the last year you do like an internship. And she's like, yeah, a lot of times they ask you not to work. And so I'm like, hold up, you're not supposed to work. We got to eat food. Like, how's this going to work? And she just reminded me, like, Stephen, like, look, the Lord has provided for us every step of the way. We have not gone with any need so far. And so it's just been a real cool thing to see the Lord setting up these pillars of faithfulness for us throughout our time here. And, like, yeah, well, I have no idea how the Lord is going to provide for us once, you know, her internship starts. But I know for a fact that he will, because he's done it so far. So.
All right, Liz, and this will have to be the last one, but you don't have to stop telling stories. You can do it at home, in house, church, wherever you want to be. So, all right.
Thanks. Sorry, I know it's late. I'll make it really quick. So I've been here for 4 years now as a member with you guys, and this will be my last Sunday. So since it's Testimony Sunday, I just figured I'd come up and say goodbye, but I am such a work in progress, and the Lord continues to work on me so much. And I came to St. Louis somewhat broken as a woman, and really career driven, and that's really where I saw my worth in service and in nursing. And the Lord has really just worked really hard on me these last years to teach me who I am and my relationship with Him, and where that my worth really stands in that. And in the process, right towards the end of my time here, he gave me a wonderful husband whom I just feel so blessed to be with. And so I'm leaving now, and I just wanted to say thank you to each of you, because whether you know it or not, in the short interactions that I've had with a lot of you and the long interactions with some of you in in-house church and whatnot, you've really made a big difference in my life, and being part of this community has just been wonderful. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Liz. Let's do this. After the benediction, Liz, can you stick around, and we just ask people if they would like to gather around you and pray? So we'll do that after the Lord's Supper. All right. All of God's good gifts come to us as we simply open our hands and receive His grace. Not by works that we've done, but because of his favor shown to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we want to end our time this morning, as we always do, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who has taken the penalty for our sin, has given us his salvation, and freely blesses us in all of these ways. Amen. Pastor Com, your last Sunday, would you come and lead us in the Lord's Supper? And let's stand up and make a circle around the outside of the sanctuary.
It's my privilege once again to serve you at the table, and it's always humbling for me to be able to serve you this way. And all this and the testimonies of God's faithfulness that we have heard this morning have come from God to us only through Jesus. We have access to God only through him, and all his blessings come to us only through Jesus. And we have been accepted only through Jesus because of his completed work on the cross for us, when he paid our sin debt on the cross, that we could be forgiven, that we could be accepted, that we could be counted righteous, declared righteous, that we could come to God and approach his throne of grace anytime with confidence that we are loved, that we are always accepted by God through Jesus. And this table is picture, this table is something that we can see the whole thing, how God can accept us through Jesus, through his accomplished work on the cross. The bread and the wine representing the body and the blood of Jesus. Every time we are gathered around this table, I'm reminded of the greatness of God's love and his grace and mercy in providing us a way that we could again be accepted after we have rebelled against him, that we have disobeyed his command in the garden, that he has brought us back to himself. He has provided a way. He has made a way himself for us, that we could be accepted again, that we could be united with him again. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and, after giving thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body for you. Take and eat." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink of it, do it in remembrance of me." Let's bow our heads and look up to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you once again this morning that we could come here and hear your people, your saints, testifying of your goodness and your faithfulness. Our hearts have been so blessed this morning because you have shown yourself faithful in spite of our unfaithfulness and our failures and our shortcomings. Even as we come to the table this morning, Father, I pray that you would feed us. As we come to the table, Father,
I pray that you remind us of your faithfulness once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The living.